The gospel reading this morning comes from the 8th chapter of Mark, beginning with the 27th verse. Jesus and his disciples headed out of the village around Caesarea Philippi, and as they walked, Jesus asked, "Who do people say that I am?" And some of the disciples say, "Well, they say you're John the Baptizer." Others say, "Elijah." And still others say, "One of the prophets." He then asked, "And you, what are you saying about me? Who am I to you?" And Peter was quick and gave an answer, "You are the Christ. You are the Messiah." And Jesus warned them to keep it quiet, not to breathe a word to anyone. And he then began explaining things to them. "It is necessary that the Son of Humanity proceed to an ordeal of suffering, be tried, found guilty by the elders, high priests, and religious scholars, and be killed, and after 3 days rise up alive." He said this simply and clearly, so nobody could miss it. But Peter grabbed him in protest. Turning and seeing his disciples wavering, wondering what to believe, Jesus confronted Peter. "Peter, get out of my way. Satan, get behind you. For you have no idea how God works." And then calling the crowds to join his disciples, he said, "Anyone who intends to come with me has to let me lead. You're not in the driver's seat. I am. Don't run from suffering, embrace it. Follow me and I'll show you how. Self-help is no help at all. Sacrifice is the way, my way, to saving yourself, your true self. What good would it do to get everything you want and lose your soul? What can you trade your soul for?" This is the Word of God. All right. So, listening to that, you've all heard this passage before. What do you suppose the pastor's going to talk about? What do you suppose in this is maybe the thing that we ought to focus on? You know that in most churches today, this passage is being read if they follow the lectionary. And here is what they are going to concentrate on. They are going to concentrate on a stewardship theme early. Take up my cross and follow me. They will set it up by saying to you, "Who do you say that Jesus is?" And you know, I sat there and I thought about that this morning. I sat there and I thought, you know, there is probably no more important question than a, quote, Christian church and a pastor in a Christian church can ask his congregation. Who do you say that Jesus is? Notice we're not saying, we're not giving you the answer. We're not saying Jesus the Christ. You know, they do that all the time. We use the Christ as if it was his last name. Amen. You understand that the Christ is a title. So no, I decided that that's the wrong question to ask. Why do you think I think that that's the wrong question to ask you all?
Because as Billy said, it's my Jesus and you can't have him.
You can have your Jesus.
You can have your Jesus, but
Amen.
You can't have my Jesus.
Amen. And so when churches, put out to their congregation and want you all to answer that question this morning about who do you say Jesus is, it is a false piece of theology. You don't ever have to answer that question. Because if you know Jesus, if you have a relationship with God, then you don't have to answer that question. We already know what Jesus is to you. So that's one of those false little things. So I'm going to get a little closer, though. What is probably out of this passage that Mark... Now, remember, Mark set this up for a reason. Remember, last week I told you that Mark came at this with the idea it wasn't the healings that were all that important. What was more important was Jesus reaching out. And then Mark's got him here now after he reaches out to the Gentiles and starts pulling people in that are not supposed to be part of this whole thing. Then he asks this interesting question. Who do you say that I am? Okay? And they went through all of that. And then Peter did his thing. You know, Peter said, well, you're the Messiah. Okay, fine. So you recognize that I'm part of God. That's great. By the way, you understand that if we follow this to the end, they're going to kill me.
You didn't even say that.
And Peter's reaction to that was immediate. No, 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 no. And of course, the rest of the disciples are sitting there going, wait a minute. What? No. No, 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 no. You can't be this guy that's so close to God, and then you're telling us that this is ending up on a path that's going to get us all killed. Now comes the most important part of the passage. It's when he says, it's not so much taking up the cross. I like this translation much better than taking up the cross. Anyone who intends to come with me has to let me lead. You are not in the driver's seat. If we're going to let Jesus lead, what does that involve?
Faith.
Trust.
Okay.
Complete abandonment.
I mean, that sounds, and I get to say this just because we're taping this, and it's kind of like the pastor gets to be persnickety. That is so mushy. Trust, faith, come on. That is the stuff that we always talk about. Oh, if you just had faith. Oh, if you just trust. That is not what it means to let Jesus be the driver. Think about this. What action do you have to take in order to let him be the driver?
You gotta get out of the driver's seat.
What's that?
You gotta get out of the driver's seat, right?
Well, number one,
denial.
Get out of the driver's
denial
seat.
Denial of self.
Oh, there we go. Wait a minute. Now we have to step outside of ourselves.
No backseat drivers?
No.
No.
You have to give up control.
All right, so when we get out of the driver's seat,
and we can't be backseat drivers,
and we deny ourselves, that means who has just become important? All those people around us. All those people that God puts into our lives. So what is probably the hardest thing about getting out of the driver's seat, denying ourselves if we've got to deal with all these people? What is it, folks? Come on.
Right.
Patience.
Letting go.
Oh, you definitely need patience dealing with all those people.
No.
Yeah.
There is something. Come on. See, y'all are having trouble with this because we just don't want to do it.
Let's see things the way God sees it.
Okay. And that means that you do what?
Put others first.
The way you put them first is by doing what?
Accepting.
In order to accept them, you have to do what?
Love them.
Acknowledge.
In order to love them, you have to do what?
Know them.
In order to know them, you have to do what?
Interact.
No.
No.
Forgive them. This is the toughest part, and why Mark put this passage together the way he did. If you want to know why your life isn't what you want it to be, look at the list of folks that you've got to forgive. And it usually starts with you. You usually got to stand in front of the mirror and go, God, forgive that idiot that's looking at me. Oh, yeah, that's me. Because we are filled every day of the week with lots and lots of messages that say that we do not belong, that we are not good enough, that we are not dressed well enough, that we don't have enough money, that we are not smart enough, that we do not have what it takes to be successful in this world. So while they're spending all this time telling us that the only way that we're going to get to heaven is if we change the way we live, if we fall down on our knees and take Jesus as our personal Savior, then you have missed the boat. The idea of being able to follow Jesus is to be able to do what he did. And by the way, for those of you who are sitting there going, well, now, Pastor, I really don't think it's all about forgiveness. You're hanging everything on the ability to forgive. Okay, let's have that debate. Amen? It's going to be a short debate.
Finish it on Easter Sunday.
Amen. Sunday's coming, that's true. But it's going to be a really short debate. And the reason it's going to be a short debate is because I have one question for you. When they put Jesus on the cross, what was the first words that come out of his mouth hanging on the cross?
Forgive them, Lord, they know not what they've
done. Bingo! If there is no forgiveness, there is no resurrection. If there is no forgiveness, there is no church. If there is no forgiveness, the world as we know it dies. So if you want to know today why this passage is more than picking up a cross and why it's more than about trust and faith, it is because this passage says to us very clearly that we got to let Jesus drive, and the first thing that he is going to do is forgive the idiots in this world. And you got to do the same.